Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program. Let's get started. Welcome back to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. That would be me, and it is still Thursday, the 14th day of October 2021, forever enshrined in this edition of our Truth Hurts program. My purpose here is to inform you, to educate you, to somewhat entertain you, to let you know what's going on with the lies of the left, the problems of progressivism, the silliness of socialism, the craziness of communism, and of course, to show you the double standard, hype, and hypocrisy of the Democrat Party and those on the left. I was reading something this morning in Market Watch. It says, here's what could go in a Democratic social spending bill costing $1.5 trillion, which is Senator Joe Manchin's limit. First thing here is all in one chart. Address climate change and infrastructure. Tops on the billing, $400 billion, with the large majority of that going to climate change issues. Not roads, not bridges, not tunnels, not pipelines, not sewer systems, water systems, electrical grids. Mostly climate change garbage. $200 billion would go to climate-related tax breaks for companies that are really close to Nancy Pelosi. $100 billion will go to increase climate-related spending, such as research and development, procurement, etc. And then $100 billion for housing and infrastructure spending and more tax breaks. Total spending, tax breaks, and investments, $1.5 trillion. Now, how are they planning on paying for this? According to MarketWatch, raising tax rates will give them $700 billion. Raising the corporate tax rate alone to 25% would be $410 billion. Raising the top individual income tax rate to 39.6% for those making $400,000 a year or more should raise $170 billion. And raising the capital gains tax rate to 24.2% and close the loophole for carried interest rates, $120 billion. That's the one that will hurt every single American. You'll no longer be able to write off your interest on your home when you sell it. You'll no longer be able to get mom and dad's place when they pass on to the next life. And then you sell that place because you and your siblings can't get along and decide how best to keep the old homestead. When you sell it, there'll be a death tax, an estate tax. And now, any money that is considered profit on that capital gain of selling that property will also get taxed 24.2%. But don't worry, folks. They think that improving IRS tax compliance by funding more and more and more IRS agents and auditors, by expanding bank information reporting, every time you write a check for something over $600, every time you receive an amount of funds over $600, they are going to know about it. And they're going to do Ways and Means Committee tax improvements. And that is supposed to give them a net $350 billion in savings. So they think by hiring more IRS agents, paying their salaries, their benefits, their vacations, for their office space, for their computers, for the lights, for the water bills, and everything associated with hiring, training, and retaining additional IRS agents, they're going to find some kind of way of making $350 billion. They're also going to enact some other tax increases. They're going to supposedly increase and reform the estate tax and phase in carryover capital gains at death, and restore Superfund taxes on an already struggling oil and gas industry. So what could end up in the Democrats' social spending package after it gets a haircut? And how could it be paid for? The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget is a think tank in Washington, D.C. They put forth ideas on that question this week, saying it's time to help frame the discussion. This is negotiations amongst Democrat progressives and moderates continue over the sweeping measure targeting what they call human infrastructure and climate change and other Democrat Party wish list priority items. They're trying to ram this through before the midterm elections when they get tossed out on their asses as the leaders of Congress. And they're hoping, they're praying that through the process of budget reconciliation, they're going to be able to push this stuff through and get gropey Joe Biden's feeble fingers to sign it into law. Then, when things start going off the rails, as they always tend to do with these massive spending programs, they will try desperately to blame the previous administration for the failures that these programs often bring in the form of massive unemployment, higher interest rates, higher tax rates, companies having to raise prices to cover the increased costs of their new tax burdens, as well as the increased cost that they are incurring now for lack of available employees because gropey Joe Biden and his administration have continued to pay people more money to stay home than to go to work. And also the general idea that lockdowns in our country have forced a lot of people to say, you know what? I learned to do without going out to dinner. I learned to do without going to ball games and concerts. And I learned to do without having to go buy the latest fashions to show off at work. So I simply just stay home in my sweats and t-shirts, and I'm not spending any more money, so I don't need that job anymore. Joe Manchin, the Senate moderate Democrat from West Virginia, said he would support a social spending package as long as it does not cost a penny more than $1.5 trillion. Thank you for that, but guess what? $1.5 trillion wasted on needless programs that do nothing for the crumbling physical infrastructure of our nation is still too high for me. Manchin said, anything under $1.5 trillion, which is well below the $3.5 trillion that your president, gropey Joe Biden, and other key Democratic Party leaders were pushing. Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona has also objected to spending $3.5 trillion. She's leading the White House to consider top lines that range from $1.9 to $2.3 trillion. But without Manchin's vote, it looks like the $1.5 trillion illustrative framework that the think tank thinks will reform and extend expansions of the child care, child income tax credits, earned income tax credits, free community college, and preschool for all middle-class families, and then strengthen the Affordable Care Act, fund climate change, and a few infrastructure projects like putting electric charging stations all along the interstates would be the way to go. My issue with the charging stations all along the interstates is, if it is okay to pay for free electric charging, then I'm going to scream discrimination. I want a free diesel station for the F-250. I want a free unleaded station for the motorcycles. The outlays, they claim, will be funded with mainly higher tax rates, improvements in tax compliance, and mandated lower prescription drug costs. That ought to be interesting. How is the pharmaceutical lobby going to swallow that big pill? Pun intended. Maybe they'll switch sides and put their allegiance towards the Republicans. Another think tank, the Progressive Policy Institute, we know where this is going, they say the social spending package should go around $2 trillion and put almost $1 trillion towards expanded child tax credits, universal preschool, and other social programs for underserved families and communities. They want $600 billion for initiatives related to climate change. They want $425 billion to prop up the failing, piss-poor Obamacare Affordable Care Act. That's really not so affordable now, is it? A recent Slate column floated a way to structure the $1.5 trillion package as well. They want $240 billion for child tax credit extension. Manchin can probably live with that. They want $435 billion for climate programs. They want $330 billion for the failed Obamacare program. They want $140 billion to fund universal pre-kindergarten. They want $165 billion for paid parental leave. And $200 billion for dental, vision, and hearing benefits for Medicare enrollees. They also want a $2.3 trillion total framework to match the White House's new limit in conjunction with the $1.5 trillion proposal. When you add those two together, my friends, you end up with $3.8 trillion. There's something rotten in D.C., and it's got Democrat written all over it. We'll be right back. Let's switch gears for just a moment. I was reading in Reuters today, David Morgan wrote, "Congressional Republican opposition to Biden to harden as election nears," as if it's a bad thing. For four entire years, nasty, naughty Nazi Nancy Pelosi and Chuckles the Clown Schumer spent the entire 4 years of the Trump presidency being in opposition to everything Trump. You recall, during the State of the Union address, where Nancy Pelosi humphed and scoffed and wrinkled her face, even more wrinkled than it automatically normally is. And then she tore up a federal document, the copy of the State of the Union address that was handed to her. She tore it up in spectacular fashion, like a four-year-old who didn't like his report card from his daycare center. Nothing bad was said about that. She was just expressing herself. According to this article in Reuters, with the 2022 congressional elections less than 13 months away, President Joe Biden and his Democratic allies could face a bigger challenge retaining control of Congress as Republicans harden their opposition to his legislative agenda. Lawmakers are heading for a series of high-stakes partisan fights over Biden's multi-trillion dollar so-called Build Back Better joke bill to supposedly bolster a social safety net and to fight climate change, and a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, as well as urgent early December deadlines to avert a quite embarrassing government shutdown or default on the nation's debt. Biden and the Democrats have run this economy through the toilet, down the sewer pipe, into the septic tank, and now we, the people, are having to pay for his embarrassing missteps, gaffes, and outright inability to run a nation. With the 2022 election campaign season ramping up, Republican strategists and congressional aides say that the confrontation could be a death knell for any and all bipartisan plans. As long as there are items like the Democrats' massive social spending package hanging over Congress, it's going to be very difficult to do big things in a bipartisan way, said one Senate Republican aide, who then added, the fight over Biden's Build Back Better joke social plan will most likely spill over into the new year. This, of course, would make it very difficult for Democrats running in the midterms next year. Last week's vote to temporarily advance a temporary debt ceiling, which 11 Republicans joined Democrats to move forward, could be the last sign of partisanship that we see in Congress for the time being. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, whose debt ceiling offer broke weeks of partisan gridlock, has put the Democrats on notice that Republicans will not help when the debt ceiling reemerges in December. This will all be squarely upon the Democrats' backs, is what the message from McConnell is. And this way, they will have no choice but to ram it through reconciliation. And when things flop and fail and fall on their face, as they will do, it will be squarely upon the backs of the Democrats who voted for it. Congressional aides say there might be hope for further bipartisan action on a few legislative items, such as defense spending authorization, China, big tech regulation, and perhaps funding for some government operations. But, don't hold your breath, boys and girls. Biden, who as a candidate pledged to turn the page on Trump's divisiveness, may have sacrificed a chance for any major bipartisan success by allowing House Democrats to link all of their legislative spending plans without Republican votes. Biden and the Democrats have further proven Trump was not the divider. Biden is the divider in chief. And that is a shame, an embarrassment, and nothing good for these formerly United States of America. Republicans say success for Biden on infrastructure and social spending will certainly curtail the scope of any further major Democrat incentives or initiatives ahead of 2022. If by some hook or by crook those two large multi-trillion dollar legislative deals pass strictly on the backs of Democrats, it will certainly be a signal to the Republicans that it's time to stand up finally, show your ass, and push to take over the Congress in 2022. We'll be right back. I think there is some backroom deal going on between the Biden administration, the Democrats, the National Institutes of Health, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the Fufufuchi. Because now, suddenly, without warning, and without giving approval for the Johnson & Johnson booster vaccines, the National Institutes of Health study has come out saying it's quite all right to mix and match Moderna and Pfizer. Because according to an anticipated study of mixing and matching COVID-19 vaccines, they say now it is safe and effective, although the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines were supposedly found to spark stronger immune system responses than the J&J vax. Mixing and matching refers to giving a booster dose of a vaccine different from the type that was used for one's initial vaccination. The NIH study, which was released Wednesday but has yet to be peer-reviewed, but all of a sudden now it's out there in the media as if it's real, without peer review, keep that in mind, boys and girls, found that people who received the J&J vaccine produced stronger antibody levels after they got booster shots made by Moderna or Pfizer when compared to boosters from Johnson & Johnson. I'm going to stop for just a moment. I got the Johnson & Johnson shot initially, and as I've reported multiple times here on the Truth Hurts program, I'm showing zero COVID antibodies in my system every time I give blood every 8 weeks. Now I'm going to stop for a moment, shift gears radically, and change the subject from vaccines to ant and roach killer, or wasp and hornet spray. You know, if you sprinkle ant killer around your yard and directly on the ant piles, it's pretty likely the ants are going to die fairly quickly, fairly effectively. But as time goes on, as the rain soaks your yard, as the grass grows, as the seasons change, the effectiveness of the ant poison diminishes. It's exactly the same thing with any type of vaccination or anything they're claiming is a vaccination when it really isn't. Initially, when you get the Johnson & Johnson, or the Moderna, or the Pfizer, or any of the ones around the world, you're naturally going to have a higher immune rating than later down the road, which is why they are now saying everyone should get a booster. But for some reason, the folks at Johnson & Johnson, Janssen Pharmaceuticals, either weren't paying enough in bribe money to the Biden administration, the Democrats, and these so-called health expert agencies, or they just pissed them off some kind of way. Because Johnson & Johnson was touted as a one shot, which was as effective as one shot of Moderna or Pfizer. Actually, it was more effective than a single shot of Moderna or Pfizer, and damn near as effective as two doses of Moderna or two doses of Pfizer. Listen, there's some motivation by this administration to jam one of those RNA-affecting vaccines into your body. I don't know. I don't think it's microchips. I don't know. But for some reason now to come out and say, if you got Johnson & Johnson, it's perfectly okay now to get a second shot, being Moderna or Pfizer, and that would be more effective than getting a second booster from Johnson & Johnson. None of this has been peer-reviewed. None of it. It is all speculation. More importantly, my friends, is why they don't want anyone getting Johnson & Johnson. There haven't been major adverse effects. The overall effectiveness of the J&J vaccine, which does not screw with your DNA, your RNA, your gene sequence in the DNA strain. Why do they not want people getting Johnson & Johnson? I'll get back to this in a moment, but a little while ago, I decided that since I received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in early May, and since I have zero COVID antibodies according to my blood tests at the Blood Center of South Louisiana, And since they've been pushing and pushing and pushing the second dose and now booster doses of any and all so-called vaccines, I thought I'd try my hand at obtaining another dose of the Johnson & Johnson. I called the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals. They set up an appointment with me at a locally owned pharmacy about 6 miles from the house. I called, I confirmed, and I drove there. Traffic was pretty heavy, took me about 25 minutes. I walked in the door, and the lady says, "Are you here for your Pfizer vaccine?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm here for my Johnson & Johnson vaccine." She rolled her eyes, true story, and she said, "Oh, those things aren't very effective. We're pushing the Pfizer, and if not, you can take Moderna. But Pfizer's the only one that has FDA full approval now." I said, "Yeah, Pfizer paid someone off first, or the most. I would like my Johnson & Johnson vaccination today, as per the appointment that was scheduled with the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals. Just stand here for a moment, sir. We'll be right back with you." Another woman came out and said, "You sure you don't want the Pfizer?" I said, "Absolutely sure. I don't want Pfizer. I don't want Moderna. I want the Johnson & Johnson." It's like walking into CarMax or Carvana and saying, "I want that Chevrolet truck there." "Now, you sure you don't want a Dodge or a Ford? We'll be glad to sell you a Dodge or a Ford. You sure you want that Chevrolet truck?" That's what I felt like. I felt like they were playing vaccine roulette with my health, with my body. So after checking my name, my date of birth off of my driver's license, they went to the Louisiana Vaccination Registry and they said, "Well, you already received a Johnson & Johnson in May." I said, "Yes, I did, but I'm showing zero COVID antibodies." And I provided them with paper evidence, documentation, my last three donations of blood, zero COVID antibodies. She says, "Well, that's proof that Johnson & Johnson doesn't work. Don't you see that? That means you should get the Pfizer right now as your booster. And it will certainly be more effective, since obviously that Johnson & Johnson was not effective on you." I said, "I didn't even feel the needle go in when they gave me my Johnson & Johnson. I even questioned the lady, 'Are you sure you gave me a Johnson & Johnson? You gave me anything?' 'Yes, I'm sure, but I didn't feel it. I had zero side effects.'" And eventually, zero, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later when I gave blood, zero COVID antibodies. Oh, my friends, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. They are pushing this Pfizer and then secondarily Moderna, and they are bad-mouthing Johnson & Johnson for whatever reason. She says, "I'll be glad to give you a FDA-approved Pfizer booster shot right now, since you've already received Johnson & Johnson. But no one has cleared Johnson & Johnson for boosters yet. So I'm sorry, sir. You can take the Pfizer." And I said, "No, I can leave. Have a nice day." She says, "Well, I want you to know that you just held up someone else's appointment that could have come in here and gotten a Pfizer shot or a Moderna shot." I said, "Or a Johnson & Johnson." She rolled her eyes again. I left. But that's the kind of subterfuge that is going on right now. Follow the money, my friends. Follow the political gamesmanship. I probably will never get a booster now. I just thought, what the hell? Johnson & Johnson, one shot. The one shot obviously didn't go in, or it didn't take, or my body just said, and rejected it. I don't know. Zero COVID antibodies, according to the blood tests that I've received from the Blood Center of Southeast Louisiana. So I figured I'd get another shot that doesn't mess with my RNA, my genome, my DNA, the building blocks of my life. But they want to play games. So, I'm done. This is the Truth Hurts program. In earlier episodes of the Truth Hurts program, just to prove to you that I'm not a Republican, I am indeed an independent, and I do see the good when it does arise in some Democrats. I do see the bad that pops up in Republicans sometimes, and I do report on those things here at the program. But my new hero, other than Joe Manchin on the Democrat Party, is Kyrsten Sinema. According to Business Insider, 43 minutes ago, Kyrsten Sinema is reportedly threatening to hold Biden's agenda hostage. She wants to pass the bipartisan Roads and Bridges bill now, first. The article's bullet points say Sinema will not back a larger Democrat spending bill until the House passes the bipartisan infrastructure bill, according to Reuters. The Arizona Democrats' opposition would effectively stall the party-line Democrat bill. Progressives are assailing Sinema for refusing to lay out what she seeks in the safety net bill. But she is threatening at this point in time to torpedo Biden's entire agenda. She told a group of fellow moderate Democrats in the House she will not support the multi-trillion dollar reconciliation package until Congress passes the $1 trillion infrastructure spending bill first. Sinema wields power to prevent legislation from moving forward in the 50-50 split Senate because Democrats are trying to use the reconciliation process to muscle the bill through, relying on their razor-thin majority. But with her and with Joe Manchin saying they're not supporting it, it has no chance of passing. Senate Democrats must all stick together and find at least 12 votes in the Senate on the Republican side in order to bypass Manchin and Sinema's Democratic opposition. You might recall that $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation package is the staple of President Gropey Joe Biden's agenda. And it's packed with a bunch of crap, a bunch of garbage that has nothing to do with truly moving our nation forward. It includes gimme, gimme, gimme programs. They're calling it affordable child care. They're calling it an expansion of Medicare and Medicaid. They're calling it an expanded child tax credit. How can you pay someone a tax credit when they've never worked or paid a dime in taxes in their life? Democrat moderates Sinema and Manchin are holding out on the bill as that separate bipartisan infrastructure package continues to be bandied about in the House of Representatives. The progressives, the squad, the Muslim extremists, the wide bug-eyed Alexandria Horseface Cortez, the crazy Bernie Sanders, the Pocahontas Elizabeth Warren and their ilk refuse to pass the infrastructure bill, and thus the reconciliation package is approved at the same time. I call that a stalemate. Nasty Nazi Nancy Naughty Pelosi threatened to pull the bill from the floor since it was on the verge of failing. She threatened, and then she did pull the bill because she has no chance of it passing. Bernie Sanders said Tuesday the time is long overdue for Manchin and Sinema to describe their priorities. Now Sinema seems determined for it, the infrastructure bill, to pass first. You go, girl. We'll be right back. Remember during the campaign, the issue of Supreme Court packing came up? Progressive liberal Democrats who want Gropey Joe's Supreme Court commission to endorse dramatic changes to the court, including upping the number of justices from 9 to 13, look like they're going to be pretty disappointed this afternoon when the draft report is released to the public, because the commission isn't actually charged with making recommendations, according to the White House. Instead, the draft report is expected to include an appraisal of the merits and legality of particular reform proposals. Biden will not weigh in on the draft, till it becomes final next month, according to Little Red Walk It Back girl Jen Psaki. You might recall, nearly a year ago, Gropey Joe, he formed that commission as a way to buy himself time with progressives who were pushing him to pack the court as Republicans rushed to fill the Supreme Court seat vacated by the death of Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg only weeks before the election, just like Republicans had blocked Merrick Garland from getting hearings 4 years before. Biden fulfilled his promise in April. Liberal activists have been trying to convince that commission to expand SCOTUS, and it's the only way to restore balance to it. It appears to me that that commission was just a kicking the can down the road of Biden, who really knows better than to try and expand the Supreme Court. What a shame. Because when Biden gets his ass handed to him in 2024 and the other elderly liberal justices die, we'll just have plenty more room on the court to add more and more conservatives. That is all the time we have for this edition of the Truth Hurts program, everybody. Go out there and make it a great day, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are free speech protected under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you were offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix.